gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it this hour of the big show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Once you go to meeting, you never go back. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Another big, big, big show. Investigative reporter Greg Palast coming up in just a few minutes. Charlie Pierce, Boston Globe writer extraordinaire, and Joe Rahm, Assistant Secretary of Energy during the Clinton administration, to talk about his new book, Straight Up, America's Fiercest Climate Blogger.
Yes.
Takes on the status quo. It's a long title. Anyway, yeah. We'll get to all.
And he's going to have something to say about that oil rig explosion just off the coast of Louisiana.
Aha. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. So lots to get to. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. I will talk about my, I went to the Helen Thomas book party last night, which was way fun. I will talk about it. She and Craig Crawford, you know,
mm-hmm.
have Listen Up, Mr. President, a book out. I got a culture coming up my ace, as you know, here in New York. So I will talk about the fancy book party in just a bit. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. In the meantime, this is first time. Representative Gary Peters of the great state of Michigan checks in with us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Stephanie, how are you doing today?
Good, good. It's a pleasure to have you on and to meet you.
Well, likewise. It's great to be on with you.
Well, you know, we're obviously at a critical point. Let's talk about financial reform because we had a little setback in the Senate yesterday, which is becoming the norm, I guess, on financial reform. Tell us what's happening.
Well, you're right. It's unfortunate with that setback. We've got some very comprehensive reform necessary to make sure we're protecting consumers and taxpayers and investors. Passed in the House back in December. Didn't get a whole lot of the media attention at the time because we were in the middle of the health care debate over in the Senate, in fact, at that time. But it's a good package now in the Senate. Came to the floor for a vote yesterday just to debate. And unfortunately, the Republicans voted in bloc to prevent the bill from actually getting to the floor so we could debate it.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the thing, is they seem to have taken up, you know, the Wall Street bashing rhetoric while they're voting en masse against it. I don't exactly understand where they're coming from. Do you?
No, it's difficult to know where they are. I mean, the only thing we know right now is that they're saying no, don't even bring it to the floor. And I will tell you, Stephanie, we basically have a sea of lobbyists from Wall Street descending on us here on Capitol mm-hmm. Hill. I say it's like locusts descending here on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
And right now it seems as if the other party or the Republican Party right now is taking their side and just saying block it. There are strong reforms here, great ways to protect consumers, to make sure that we don't have these too big to fail institutions, that if they fail, they will indeed fail and not have taxpayer bailouts. This bill is very important to end taxpayer bailouts, and we've got the other side that's pushing back pretty hard. I don't really understand right now.
Yeah, Congressman Peters, I mean, you know, the president sort of pointed it out yesterday. It's a little deja vu on health care. He said, you know, some of these senators may believe this obstruction is good political strategy, and others may see delay as an opportunity to take this debate behind closed doors where financial industry lobbyists can water down reform or kill it altogether, which is kind of what we watched happen with health care. You know, is that going to happen, do you think?
I certainly hope it does, and I hope that we continue to push forward. I've been encouraging my colleagues over in the Senate to keep pushing the debate, bring it to the floor so it is in the full light of the day and sunshine shining on what's in the bill. There are some very, very strong and good protections for consumers in there, as well as dealing with some of these exotic financial instruments that are out there, too, that have really turned Wall Street into a casino more than what it has traditionally been, which is a place to raise money, to invest in companies. We're certainly feeling that impact in Michigan. Michigan is really hurting right now, and many small businesses can't get the loans that they need. I mean, they're in a position where they can add jobs now, they can increase production, and yet they've got banks that are unwilling to loan, and it's because of this mess created at Wall Street, and we can never let that happen again. We've got to stand up to that and make sure that hopefully Wall Street can return to its roots as being a place for investment and not a casino with derivatives and all sorts of other exotic instruments. So those need to be reined in. You need to have transparency and sunshine, just like we need over in the Senate. We need that in the day-to-day functioning of the markets as well.
Yeah, I've never heard so much about exotic instruments. I used to think that meant a kazoo or something, but we've heard more than the problem is it is the same players in a way, isn't it? As in healthcare, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, of course, has been leading the lobbying effort against the legislation. Sent senators a letter Monday urging them to vote against Democratic efforts to move the bill. You've got Mitch McConnell saying all of us want to deliver reform that will tighten the screws on Wall Street. How do you say that and then vote en masse against it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't speak for them. The fact that that it seems like it's rhetoric and yet it's not backed by anything.
But it's the same rhetoric. I mean, he said we're not going to be rushed. It's a massive bill. I mean, it's all the same things we heard on healthcare. And yet, I think a poll just came out. 65% of Americans, of course, are for financial reform.
Oh, there's no question about that, Stephanie. And it's hardly a rush. We've been working on this since day one. I serve on the Financial Services Committee of the House. We went to work on this immediately in January of last year, went through a long process an entire year before it passed in December. The Senate has had just as long a deliberation. So this has been a long deliberation with lots of input. And we simply can't wait. The economy continues to be very fragile. We can't have any more shocks to the economy. And certainly, to have Republicans and others saying that we need to take our time and it doesn't make sense in a place like Michigan where we're really hurting and we've got to get credit flowing again and we've got to have some common sense rules of the game to return Wall Street to what it does, what it should be doing, which is investing in American companies and American workers.
Congressman, what about the timing of this, Goldman Sachs? Obviously the CEO will testify today before a Senate committee, correct? And he's, of course, going
That's
to
right.
deny charges that his firm bet against the U.S. housing market. However, how do you say that when you have these emails showing that Goldman positioned itself to make money as the housing market, melted down? In one email, he says the firm can make some serious money as the housing market collapses. I mean, hard to spin that, isn't it?
I think it is difficult, and I'll be watching those hearings very closely, as I'm sure most Americans will be watching it closely. And what is troubling with some of these allegations is the fact that we had products that were being sold to clients as a good investment, while at the same time the firm was betting against them, which really mm-hmm. makes you scratch your head and say, whose side are these firms on? Obviously, it's not their customers.
Yep. Congressman, let me get your take on this Arizona immigration law and what that's going to mean. Because obviously it seems like Congress is going to need to take up immigration reform next. What is your take on what's going on in Arizona?
I've certainly been watching that and concerned about that, and we'll see where the Congress moves on it. I'm hoping right now that we focus on the financial reform, get that through as quickly as possible so we can move on to other things that we've sent to the Senate. And as you know, we've also sent an energy bill over
right.
there as well that I'm hoping that they work on. So we've still got some big issues out there, and the legislative
calendar. Well, if Lindsey Graham gets over his snit fit about the about doing immigration first, and then he's going to vote against, it really is the Republicans. Just I don't know what other word to use, right? It's like petulant or just if you're a parent, you just want to give them a timeout, don't you?
Well, my view is we've got big problems really in this country right now. The American people just want us to roll up our sleeves and kind of get together in a practical way and try to work through some of these problems and solve the problems. And the unfortunate thing is that politics just has been creeping into every single thing that's done every single day. And that's why the American people right now are fed up with what's happening in Washington. And they're probably equally fed up with both sides because they just want to get things done and move this country forward and quit playing these darn political games.
Yep, absolutely. Well, with more like you, we'll get that done. Representative Gary Peters, our first-time guest from the great state of Michigan. Thank you so much, Congressman.
Well, pleasure to be with you, Stephanie.
You too, sir. All right, there he goes.
Great.
They're well represented, what between our friend Debbie Stabenow.
Yes.
Senator Debbie Stabenow of the great state of Michigan as well.
And Governor Jennifer Granholm. She's doing a great job, bang-up job.
Exactly.
And she keeps being mentioned as a Supreme Court nominee.
I know. We'll see if that actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I went to a fancy book party last night.
And how was it?
Here in New York City. Craig Crawford invited me, and then he gave me a prominent mention along with
StephanieMiller.com,
which was very nice.
Wow.
Yes, he and Helen Thomas had a book party for their book, Listen Up, Mr. President. But I have to say, first of all, I'm a, as you know, big loser.
Well,
I went by myself, as I always do, because I'm me.
Did you wear a T-shirt and a baseball cap, or did you get dolled
up? I did
up?
Not.
You got,
I fancied up.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I almost left early because I was like, you know how you just become that back, the awkward, like, kid in eighth grade?
Yeah.
I just didn't know anybody. I didn't know who to talk to. And
right.
You just, like, feel like you're getting, like, your front teeth are getting further and further out. You're just like, I don't know anybody.
The guy who owns the show wouldn't go with you?
He's not. He was not here. He's in Los Angeles. He's coming to see you guys today, in fact. Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about that.
Well, there you go. I'm taking care of business on the air.
Okay. I might need to rearrange some things on my schedule.
Anyway, I'm glad that I got over my geekdom and stayed, because Helen Thomas, it's hard to have that perspective. She's been covering White Houses and presidents since, dear God, you know, she knew Eleanor Roosevelt, for God's sakes. I mean, she really has a perspective that it's hard to, you know, because they did a question and answer, and she's fascinating, her whole take on. And you know what she said, which is something we've been saying, but she has a little more perspective on it than we would.
Mm-hmm.
She's been covering White Houses since Kennedy, I believe.
Yeah.
But anyway, she said, I have never seen it as bad out there as it is now. I've never seen people as angry. And, you know, we keep sort of, you know, citing anecdotal evidence, and it just seems bad, and between the teabaggers and, you know, and a lot of the actual violence, but the angry rhetoric, the violent rhetoric. She said, I've never seen it in all of my years. I've never seen it as bad as it is right now in terms of anger.
Even in the late 60s and early 70s with all of that, protest stuff going on with Vietnam and all of that? I see footage of that, and I think... I don't know. It could just be me, but I think that was a lot worse then than it is.
Maybe she even needs rhetoric about the president. I mean, there's a great piece. I'll do tax fun facts later, because it really is amazing how much lower taxes are and how much Obama has cut taxes. This is not about taxes and big government. This is take our country back is about there's a black guy in the White House.
Yeah.
Got to get him out. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying it's like the kind of rhetoric that people are using and every day. And prominent Republicans, just this violent rhetoric about, who said it the other day? Rick Perry. I'm proud to be in the army, the anti-Obama army. It's just everything they say. It's time to reload. It's time to, I want you armed and dangerous. It's just, it's really, really irresponsible. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she had another interesting, somebody asked her, do you think Obama could be the next Kennedy? And you know what she said?
What?
She said, if he had a little more courage.
Huh.
She thinks that he has the potential to be, but she just talked about, like, not worrying whether you're a one-term president and doing the right thing because it's the right thing and not, anyway, so I think she's a fan of the president and, like some of us, I think on the left, we get frustrated when we feel like he's being a little too political and not, or too, whatever,
careful.
Centrist.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly. Oh, all right. When we come back, Rebecca has to, She sent me a letter from the potential stalker stack, which we'll read when we get back. Yeah, because it's funny. All right. That she sent along.
As funny as the last stalker we had?
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour, investigative reporter Greg Palast. We are going to talk to him about the immigration law and much more coming up in just a few minutes. Haven't had him on in a while.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
And he says it's part of an insidious plot for Republicans to, quote-unquote, take back the country. So we'll see how he arrives at that.
Interesting. Good. Yes, they're certainly doing a good job winning the hearts and minds of the Hispanic vote, aren't they?
Yeah.
Rebecca Taylor, are you here?
Oh, I can get her?
Yes, please. Thank you. That's what I asked for before the break. Remember? Stalker letter. Here we go. Stalker letter that Rebecca sent me along. Because I'm not really sure if this is a joke. I maybe. It's from Matt. who wrote to Rebecca and said, Rebecca, I love the show, but I can't listen at work. I'm a podcast subscriber. I usually listen to the show around 5 p.m. Chicago time. I often have useful input while enjoying the show, but I can't call in because the show has been on for over 9 hours by the time I get around to listening. Would it be possible to get Stephanie's home phone number so I could call her with my witty comments? If you feel that's too personal, just give me her cell phone number instead, Matt.
Oh.
So I was like, sure.
Yeah, no problem. And you write potential stalker stack. I'm not replying because I would reply with 1-800-YO-MAMA.
That is the most brazen attempt to get at you I've ever had.
And
people try. I mean, they try to get past me, and you know I'm big and tough and strong, and I can take anyone on. So
you're the show bouncer.
Yeah, yeah. I protect you. I really do.
Oddly, since you're the only one not on P90X, but whatever.
Soon enough I will be.
Do you think that was a joke, or in your vast experience dealing with Stephanie Miller, aficionados?
Real. That was
no,
real.
Honestly, I think that the intent was false, but that they really wanted your number.
Yeah.
I think it was probably like some crazy Republican who wanted to call you up at home and yell at you or something like that.
Ah, yeah, I see. So he wanted to discuss show issues with me several hours later when I'm home, because he feels that his input is missing in the show.
Right. I don't think he wants to spoon you.
All right.
People like that can call 1-800-SPECIAL2 during the show.
My life is just sad enough, Chris, that I might actually call Rebecca during cocktail hour and go, give him my number. What else am I doing?
Oh, God.
You want to go to a book party? All right. Well, thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for your bouncer work once again.
Sure thing.
All right. Hey, Chris, speaking of input, lots of good input on the Arizona law from the listeners. Brian writes, staff, I think Judge Sonia Sotomayor should get a beat-up 1984 Toyota pickup with a little primer on it and start driving around Arizona. Then we'd have some good lawsuits. Brian.
Yeah.
See? That's exactly it. Anyone from a Supreme Court justice of the United States to a congresswoman to anybody could get picked up with this stupid law.
That's right.
You know? If somebody doesn't happen to watch the CNN or the C-SPAN or the whatever.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Heck, even anybody who says a boot can get picked up.
Sure, Supreme Court justice. I haven't counted how many times I heard that when I'm pulling people over. All right, that's a funny idea. I like that idea. There's another really funny idea. I'll get to that at the top of the hour. It involves us and the whole show and our listeners.
Oh?
And what we can do in Arizona. Rick, though, writes, staff, Stephen Colbert had it right. We tried everything to keep the immigrants out. We even lined the border with the crappy estates.
Oh, come on.
We don't know that.
I happen to love the states along the southern border.
That's true. That's true. Well, you've lived in Arizona.
I've lived in Arizona and California.
And we love our listeners in Phoenix and Tucson.
And California. That's along the Mexican border, too.
If we have to, we will airlift Phoenix and Tucson out and plop them down in California with us.
Oh, I also like Flagstaff and Sedona.
Okay. We'll take you guys, too.
Okay.
29 minutes after the hour, investigative reporter extraordinaire Greg Palast next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Beautiful. You're making me nauseous, and I love it.
My pleasure. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. I'm telling you, no one breaks news like Greg Palast, investigative reporter. Reading here, the new Arizona law to require all people to carry citizenship papers is part of a long-running program of the state GOP to disenfranchise Hispanic voters. Governor Janet Brewer, who until last year was Arizona Secretary of State. I didn't even know that, Christopher.
Yeah, Secretary of State in Arizona is basically Lieutenant Governor in other states. Arizona doesn't have a Lieutenant Governor. So.
She zealously directed a program to block over 100,000 voters from registering without a single case proven of non-citizen attempting to vote. This is like a replay of what we've seen in so many other states. The racially loaded electoral blockade was fiercely promoted by State Senator Russell Pierce, sponsor of the new citizenship ID law. According to BBC reporter Greg Palast, the Arizona GOP's blockade of voters is an ill-disguised program to systematically exclude legal voters, overwhelmingly Democrats. Why? And here's the breaking news reporter. I'm breaking him right now on the Stephanie Miller newscast. Good morning, Greg Palast.
Hey, Hey, glad to be with you, Steph, Chris. Yeah.
Good morning. Well, you know, Greg, I hadn't even thought of that part of it, but boy, have we seen this over and over again with black voters and anybody that is, you know, likely to vote Democratic in election after election, right?
Right. Well, you know, Bobby Kennedy and I did an investigation for BBC TV and Rolling Stone. We went out, I went out to Arizona. Jan Brewer was the Secretary of State, made governor by Obama. When he appointed Democrat Napolitano to his cabinet, Brewer became governor. But until then, she was the Catherine Harris of Arizona. In fact, she did a more thorough job. She blocked over 100,000 voters, overwhelmingly Hispanics, you know, overwhelmingly Democrats. You know, it's not, I don't think that she is prejudiced against the, you know, brown people. She's a prejudiced against blue people, Democrats.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not partisan. This is all about a vote heist. And I went to Arizona to try to get together with her and say, listen, you've stopped 100,000 people who are non-citizens from trying to vote. Well, that's a felony crime, so let's bust them. After all, when they register to vote illegally, they give their names and addresses, so let's go get some. There weren't any. And, you know, her, the guy who is sponsoring this new Soviet-style show-me-your-papers law, a kind of fruitcake named Russell Pierce, state senator, you know, it's being played as a civil rights prejudice issue, but it's really about voting. In fact, he said that there are there is a huge attempt by the Democratic Party to register illegal aliens, that there are 5 million illegally registered aliens on the voter rolls right now. 5 million. So I said, okay, give me the names of five. Since they give their names and addresses, he knows who they are. He couldn't give me the names of five. It's completely bogus. And so this is all about preventing the obvious demographic avalanche, which brings in Democratic voters.
Right, who, you know, hugely supported President Obama. And, you know, Greg, you and I have talked about this, you know, in Ohio in 2008, the purging of black voters, obviously in Florida in 2000. I mean, this is a well-worn play for the Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, people think that the game is over. You know, I reported that story about how Catherine Harris knocked off thousands of black folk calling them felons when their only crime is voting while black. Well, now the new crime is you're not a citizen. But they make you prove it. In fact, what they're doing is that you're guilty of the crime, and they don't have to prove it. In fact, we are hunting all over. In fact, I talked to a U.S. prosecutor, a Republican U.S. prosecutor, who was told to try to prove some of these cases. He hunted for 100 cases next door in New Mexico, found none, said, I'm arresting no one. That was David Iglesias, Captain David Iglesias.
I was just going to ask you about the David Iglesias. Here we go again. This is the prosecutor who's a prosecutor no more. When he refused to fabricate charges of illegal voting among immigrants, he was his fire was personally ordered by George Bush under orders from Karl Rove, which, of course, you know,
that's exactly right. And so what happened is we're seeing the same, we saw the same game in Arizona where they did knuckle in. And what's going to happen is that this is part of a game of intimidation. So if voters go to vote, they're going to be told, where's your papers? Prove you're a citizen. Now you go to vote. You don't have citizenship papers. Remember, a driver's license is not a citizenship paper.
Right. It's a license to drive on the road.
It's a license to drive. And in fact, when they said that 5 million people had registered to vote illegally, non-citizens, they were going from the number of people who had refused to serve on jury duty along in border towns because they said they were non-citizens. And the answer is, yeah, because they had registered to drive, not to vote, but we don't have these illegal voters. It's a con. We don't, you know, obviously there are undocumented workers. Who else would, you know, who else would cut the golf lawns for, you know, for Senator McCain? You know,
right.
If you didn't have illegal immigrants, you wouldn't have Arizona as an economy. So they're not talking about stopping immigrants. They're talking about stopping illegal. They're talking about stopping voters who are legal voters. I even met with one.
Well, I mean,
really priest, yeah.
Funny you bring up McCain. I mean, I have to say, this is seriously, just when you thought it couldn't get sadder, the spectacle of John McCain. I mean, yesterday you saw him literally flip-flopping back and forth just on this law, just saying, you know, I understand it, I'm for it, but it may not be legal, but I'm for it. But well, not personally, but I'm sort of for it. But I mean, it's just, I mean, like you say, all he cares about is getting elected. Clearly, he has absolutely no principles of any kind. He has flip-flopped on everything.
he doesn't need principles. He needs votes. Now, the GOP in Arizona knows that demographically they're toast or tortillas at this point. If the legal Hispanic voters are permitted to register, literally she blocked 100,000 of them. 100,000. This is that beats Catherine Harris's record of 58,000 black people. So, I mean, you're talking about a woman who has never elected herself. Remember, she wasn't elected. She was, you know, she kind of fell up into the governor's office. She knows that the GOP really can't survive long-term in Arizona if people are allowed to vote. It's that simple. You know, and we asked, you know, Pierce, we asked her, you know, just give us the names of these illegal voters. We found one, this woman, Shirley Priest, who was denied the right to vote, so obviously a criminal who should be handcuffed. She was 100 years old. She didn't have a birth certificate that she could, you know, she wasn't born with a birth certificate. You know, they didn't have them in Kentucky. Or she says she's from Kentucky. I suspect she's from Juarez or something. You know, I mean.
Oh, I'm sure it's Kenya.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, so, you know, and let, you know, I like McCain to prove he's a citizen of Arizona. He's 8 homes.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many days did you spend in the state you claim to represent? So, you know, how many people can actually prove that they are legal? And I got to tell you, I went into the prison. If you go to gregpals.com, you'll see me walking into the prison of Joe R. Powell, the sheriff in Phoenix, Maricopa.
Yeah, Maricopa County.
Yeah, and you know, this guy is facing federal indictment for racially prejudiced abuse of his office, and he's the guy who's going to enforce, supposedly on a colorblind base, he's going to supposed to enforce this law of deciding who should be stopped to ask for citizenship papers. And I got to tell you, he didn't ask me, you know, and I got to tell you, I'll admit right now, my grandmother crossed the border illegally from Windsor, Kansas.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. And I also had my assistant with me who is a Swiss citizen. You know, it didn't even stop. But, you know, it's like two white people, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we were dark skinned.
Greg,
Yeah,
I see what they're doing already. You know, we got this, I think we had a right-wing caller yesterday that, you know, they're making again, oh, you must be, you're disparaging the police. It's like, what? No, we're not. I mean, and there's John McCain there yesterday with all, you know, flanked by policemen saying, how dare you accuse them of racially profiling? It's like, what? We're not accusing them. They've been ordered to stop anybody that, I mean, give me a friggin' break, right, Greg? Like, what, there's going to be any other reason to stop someone than that they look Mexican, right?
Well, let's face it. Joe R. Powell, like I say, is facing a federal indictment now for racial prejudice. And the idea, oh, how dare we say that there's prejudice among the police force? Yeah, it's systematic. It's ordered from the top. Oh, absolutely. That's the game. If there's a different direction.
Well, it's like the Iraq War, right? When we're, you don't support the troops. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah,
no.
Bring them home. Let's bring the troops away from the border there. What's happening is again, what's missing in the discussion, it's not about civil rights or harassment per se. It's not about harassing immigrants. It is about suppression.
It's voter intimidation, right? I mean,
voter intimidation. You get in line. And by the way, you know who started this? A guy named William Rehnquist, who the late Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He was in Arizona. He ran something called the Republican Eagles that would go around to Hispanic voting places, and he was a lawyer, and he'd, you know, show them some official looking document and say, show me your citizenship papers, and if you vote without being able to prove you're a citizen, we're going to have you arrested. This harassment system in Arizona is basically as old as Jim Crow, or I should say Jose Crow. You know, it's
Jose Cuervo.
Yeah, you know, this is the game that's being played. They've played it a long time in Arizona. They're losing it. They already lost the governorship to a Democrat, and then that got kind of blown away for reasons.
Boy, they got a million different ways. Remember, in Ohio, for instance, 2008, it's like, oops, there's only one working voting machine in black districts. Oh, that's weird. Oh, I guess everybody can't vote. You know, I mean, it's just, it's amazing the ways that they've thought of to, you know, to disenfranchise voters.
And harassment and terrifying Hispanic voters so they don't show up at the polls, so they dare not register, being told if you register and you're illegal and you can't prove you're a citizen, you'll be arrested. That's to talk about keeping people away from the polls. How many people walk around with their citizenship papers? Only 1 in 8 Americans even has a passport. What is your citizenship paper? You have to have an original birth certificate or a naturalization paper passport.
I was
That's
just
it.
I know. You know what's interesting? I was just thinking that. We were talking about that. I just moved, and I realized, like, I think I lost my passport. I also think I lost my birth certificate in some move. And so you're right. It's, any of us can be like, I don't have those papers.
How many people keep their citizenship papers or their original birth certificate
on them? Yeah.
In their glove compartment. In fact, it's kind of stupid if you do. So you know who's going to be stopped, and you know why they're going to be stopped. And get ready, because they're going to be stopped when they try to register to vote, when they try to go to the polling places. It's setting up a legal system of harassment. This is the game. They've already been very successful knocking off 100,000 voters. You know, it's not a question. You know, McCain, you know, they're talking about this big primary in Arizona. The truth is that no Republican could get elected there.
Mm-hmm,
it's the Hispanic citizens. Citizens were not impeded from registering.
Yep. You know, we were saying, as Chris and I both have been, I believe, Chris, you've probably gotten a speeding ticket in Arizona. I know I have. Who hasn't?
No, just in California, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's one big speed trap, but that's the good news, Greg, is the police will be so busy racially profiling. You can go 100 miles an hour. It's party time for speeders. As long as you're a white blur, you don't have anything to worry about. They'll be too busy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Greg. I was going to say, great job on this as usual, because, you know, as usual, you've got an aspect of it that nobody else has. I mean, it's already so egregious on its face, but, you know, this is, you're absolutely right. We're right, you know, getting up to 2010, and here we go again, right?
It's the same game, and that's why when I spoke with Russell Pearson in his office, they made the guy that sponsors this bill, they made it very clear it's about voting. It's about so-called illegal voting. And you can't, by the way, separate this from the attack on Acorn, which is the number one group that was registering the Hispanic voters.
Yep.
And I talked to other Hispanic voter registration groups. You know, they're basically terrifying people. And in the last election, you know, people think, Obama won, so the issue of stealing elections is over. Kennedy and I just calculated that about 6 million people are still legal voters, were blocked from voting or didn't get their vote counted for all kinds of cockamamie technical reasons, blockades, purges, ID challenges, you name it. That stuff went on big time in 2008, just that Obama, it was such a landslide that it wasn't noticed. And the Democrats are going to get bit in the behind on this one in November.
Unless they listen to Greg Palast, investigative Kleeglite of electoral fraud. Greg, thanks as always. We really appreciate it. Check in with us again, won't you?
You got it, Steph.
All right. There he goes. Greg Palast, investigative reporter extraordinaire from the BBC and elsewhere.
That's right.
All right.
And GregPalast.com. We have a link to it up at StephanieMiller.com.
You know, there's always an awful lasagna. There's an awful right-wing lasagna, Chris. And under the first layer of awful, then there's another entirely more awful layer underneath, and leave it to Greg Palast to find it.
That's right.
48 minutes after the hour, back with more on this, on the awfulness of the Arizona law as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are family.
Yeah.
A dysfunctional little island of misfit toys, but still. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Boy, you know this Arizona law is bad when Tom Tancredo goes, that's a little crazy.
Yes.
Okay. Y'all are getting a little extreme now. All right, let's go to Mark in Daytona Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning, Stephanie. Can I get a little banjo music?
Oh, okay, sure. Hang on.
I just wanted to get your opinion. Your guest, he mentioned this is about voter intimidation. Just your opinion. During the last presidential election, the Black Panthers are on film with nightsticks outside the places you vote. One place, anyways.
One place.
One place.
Uh-huh.
The Attorney General decides.
Where was that?
I'm going to say it was in
Black
the
Panthers?
Boston
are there still Black Panthers?
There, well, it was a Black Panther-like thing. That
it. You saw it on the news.
And no, you only saw it on Fox News, and they played it over and over and over again to make you think that it happened everywhere, but it happened in one place.
No, I even just said one place.
Right.
And you saw it, right?
Okay, so go ahead,
okay.
Mark.
What is your opinion? Voter intimidation.
Clearly, that disenfranchised millions of poor white people.
The attorney general decided to drop or not file any charges. Now, if you want to talk about voter intimidation, you're on a one-sided story the way your guest is putting it.
All right, Mark. You use your one Fox News story about the one place that had the black people, in case you haven't noticed they were black. And we will stick with
he's black.
Read Congressman John Conyers' book, What Went Wrong in Ohio. You can read any telling of what happened in Florida in 2000. Millions of people have been disenfranchised by Republicans in both of those cases. Mm-hmm. So that's from that fair and balanced. You're exactly right. That's their technique, Chris. They air it over and over, and you're like, look, it's happening everywhere. Black people with nightsticks.
Believe me, I subject myself to it every single day.
I know
what goes on.
You're a good boy.
Yes.
Okay, President Obama is speaking about financial reform live. Let's see what he has to say.
The Pentagon itself said that it doesn't want or need, because in these hard times, we have to save where we can afford so that we can pay for what we need, the same way families do. Finally, I've proposed a freeze in government spending for 3 years. This won't affect benefits through Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security. And it will not affect national security, including benefits for veterans, but it will affect all other discretionary spending. My budget ends loopholes and tax giveaways for oil and gas companies and for the wealthiest 2% of Americans, because we just can't afford them. And I kept my promise to pass a health reform bill without adding a dime to the deficit. In fact, by attacking waste and fraud and promoting better care, reform is expected to bring down our deficits by more than $1 trillion over the next 2 decades.
What? Big government? Oh.
All these steps, while significant, are simply not enough. For even as we rein in waste and ask that Congress account for every dollar it spends, this alone will not make up for the years in which those in Washington refused to make hard choices and live within their means. And it will not make up for the chronic failure to level with the American people about the cost of the services that they value. This is going to require people of both parties to come together and take a hard look at the growing gap between what the government spends and what the government raises in revenue. And it will require that we put politics aside, that we think more about the next generation than the next election. There's simply no other way to do it. That's why I appointed the National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform, based on a proposal originally presented by a bipartisan group of senators. And today, the commission will have its first official meeting. I am grateful to all of its members, Democrats and Republicans, folks in government, and folks from the private sector.
Wait a minute, Chris.
For participating.
The Chiron is saying health care reform will reduce the deficit by $1
trillion
in 20 years.
That's not possible.
It was a big government. Thank God he's not going to touch my Medicare and my Social Security. Keep his government hands off that. All right, let's go back to Aurora in Illinois on the Arizona law. Hello, Aurora.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
My question is, what's going to happen to all the Native Americans? I mean, I have a lot of relatives in Arizona that are Native American, and they happen to look Mexican.
Uh-oh.
They get asked for their
papers. You'd think that they have more right to ask the rest of us for our papers and tell us to get out than the other way around, wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, that's the most awful thing about this is just, you know, it literally is, I mean, is the very definition of racial profiling. All right. We will be back with Tom Tancredo thinks this is kind of extremist.
What? But Tom Tancredo is kind of extremist. Whoa.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with all of that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa,
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to hold and host an online meeting, and the only way we do it here at Stephanie Miller Show. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Oh, Jeff in Orange County wants to clear up an episode of What the Fox?
Oh, okay.
That a right-wing caller just said that there was black people with batons, Chris, no, that intimidated millions of poor white people from voting.
They didn't even have batons.
Something. Nightsticks. Morning, Jeff in Orange County.
Morning, Steph.
Good morning, baby.
Actually, two quick points. On that note, to Mark, I think it was, the reason that the Black Panthers, as he just grouped them in with, had to go out there was to counteract the same claim that Rehnquist, that Palace was talking about, Rehnquist being out in intimidating people. You're going to have a hard time intimidating minority voters if there are a bunch of people there to protect them, actually. On the second point, there's been a movie.
So you mean they weren't there to steal white people's stereos?
Yeah. How funny this guy is that he's a lemming following the Fox, which is and was begun as a Republican news organization, or excuse me, faux news organization.
Right. Yeah.
But let me also just say that there was a movie made about the god Ronald Reagan that they all worship at the altar of Amnesty Program, and most people have seen it, and they don't really realize what it's about. It's about Ronald Reagan's amnesty, and the movie is called Scarface. So everybody that wants to talk about the crime that these illegal immigrants are causing, watch the movie Scarface once, and remember, Ronald Reagan was the one who opened the floodgates for supposedly Castro and everybody to empty their prisons and so forth.
Yeah, all right, honey, thank you. All I remember about Scarface is the cockroach.
Well, Scarface came out in 82 or 83. Amnesty didn't happen until like 87, so I don't know if that's entirely accurate.
Here are some fun facts that are accurate. Would you like some tax fun facts?
Sure.
Someone sent me it sort of encapsulates the facts that many are lost on some teabaggers, Chris.
Hmm.
Tea partiers lack tax facts. 97% of Americans received a tax cut this year under the stimulus, the Recovery and Reinvestment Act, it's called, which contained $244 billion in tax cuts, according to the Tax Policy Center. A family of four will pay only 4.6% of its income in federal income taxes this year, the second lowest percentage in the past 50 years.
Hmm.
What about taxes on the wealthy, you ask, Chris? Well, between 2001 and 2007, their affected tax rate plummeted from 29.4% in 1993 to only 16.6%. According to a February CBS poll, only 2% of teabaggers know that Obama cut taxes, while 44% think he raised them.
Oh.
Is it corporate taxes worrying the tea parties? Well, two-thirds of all American corporations paid no corporate taxes between 1995 and 2008. Exxon and GM made $35 billion and $10.3 billion, respectively. They paid, guess what? Zero corporate taxes. Zero. Perhaps they're alarmed by the deficit. Did they protest while George Bush turns Clinton's projected $5 trillion surplus? In case you'd forgotten, that's $5 trillion surplus he left. Into a $5.6 trillion deficit? Did they protest Bush's $700 billion bank bailout?
No. Says no.
What the teabaggers really look like are mostly old, uninformed white people who are angry at being out of power and want to take back their country from a black man in the White House. Taxes are simply a politically acceptable pretext the right-wing noise machine uses to manipulate them. Very good article Kelly sent me. All right. I got a bunch of, Tommy in Columbus has been sending SAT tests, STEP aptitude tests.
Yes.
To test your STEP aptitude. Connolly from Frederick, Maryland writes, Steph, what a sad little life I have. I have so far aced the Stephanie Miller's SAT test. If only I'd done so well on the real SAT back in 1979 that I remember through a bong water soaked haze. My greatest accomplishment would have been more than being the official soccer mom of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hmm.
Oh, well. Not as sad as my little life. Oh, well.
Do you remember what you got on the SATs?
Oh, dear God, no.
No? Okay.
I don't. Do you?
Yeah.
What a geek. What did you get?
1283.
Oh, well, see, you remember because you wanted to brag.
Well, no, I just, that's just.
I don't think I got quite that high. My math was.
Yeah, well.
I did really well on the verbal, but the other.
You and I both, sister. I mean, I aced the verbal. Math.
Yeah.
Math is hard.
Yeah, chattiness. That's what. And I thank God I was able to make a living at it.
Yeah.
Math? No, not so much.
Computer says no.
I became a grammar Nazi.
I think you beat me. I think I was somewhere in the 11, maybe 1,200 range. I think you edged me out.
And you were a salutatorian?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
It's not a very competitive high school.
I guess not.
All right. Charlie in Long Beach, here's an idea. Oh, it's listener wackiness again.
Okay.
Hi, Steph. Here's an idea. Why don't you and your band of happy, merry workers lead an invasion of Phoenix dressed in the costumes of various countries? You can wear your polyester kimono from Universal City. Chris can wear his Busch Gardens lederhosen. Jim can surely find something in his vast collections of look quick before my character dies movie outfits. And Rebecca can wear whatever the native garb is of her homeland, Skanknavia. Oh, come on. That's not true. Choose a day and then ask your listeners to join you. Imagine the confusion among the Phoenix police when you all show up looking like an eighth grade model UN meeting. Some fun, huh, Charlie and Long? That's funny. They won't know who to pull over first. All right. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was mentioning last hour, well, you know when Tom Tancredo says you've gone too far in immigration?
Ugh.
You might just have gone too far
on
immigration. Mm-hmm. He is, seriously, he is as far right an ideologue as you can get on immigration, isn't he? It's what he got famous for.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Dick Armey once said that Tancredo was alienating Latinos from the GOP. In fact, Armey referred to Tancredo as the cheerleader of jerkiness in the immigration debate. So, Tancredo said he supports Arizona going after the issue of undocumented immigration. What's telling is he worried the law might go too far, showing how radical the measure really is. He questions how police can stop people for any reason. He said, I don't want people here there in Arizona pulled over because you look like you should be pulled over.
See, you look like you have an Italian name.
Wow. Tom Tancredo, Jim, says that's, you know what, you people need to calm down on this whole immigration thing.
He's going to change his name to Mick Tancredo.
Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary on the Arizona.
If you look at what has happened in Arizona and the implications that that type of law could naturally drive each state to creating its own immigration laws. That's because the United States at the federal level has failed to act.
And then there is the pathetic spectacle that is John McCain. Who, let's see now. Before the bill was signed, he hailed it as a very important step forward. His spokeswoman, however, clarified to reporters that McCain's comment did not represent an endorsement of the bill.
No, of course not. But
at town hall meetings in Arizona this weekend, McCain continued to straddle the issue, calling it a good tool for law enforcement, but also saying he didn't know whether all of it's legal or not.
Okay.
He kept up the confusion over his position in interviews with local Arizona reporters. When one spoke with him, he didn't answer directly when asked if he personally supported the legislation, calling it a state decision. I'm sure there's some controversial parts, acknowledged McCain, but when he spoke with a gaggle of reporters at another town hall, he said he agrees with the thrust of the bill.
You know, I hate to give J.D. Hayworth credit for anything, but at least J.D. Hayworth is consistent in his position.
Be consistent in your bigotry, for God's sake.
Exactly.
McCain rejected fears the bill will lead to racial profiling. Yeah.
That's crazy.
How would that ever happen? That's nuts.
It's like bombing civilians is going to end up in war crimes. Where would you get that idea?
Megan's daughter, McCain, oh gosh, the family is split once again. She wrote, I do not support the bill that was signed by Governor Jan Brewer. I believe it gives the state police a license to discriminate. It also, in many ways, violates the civil rights of Arizona residents. Simply put, I think it's a bad law that's missing the bigger picture of what's really going on with illegal immigration.
Yep.
If only there was somebody that could see the comprehensive immigration big picture, somebody named John McCain, that put his name on the bill before he became a pathetic flip-flopper with no principles.
Wow, John McCain is in big trouble. He really is.
Pathetic.
Wow.
Mayor Phil Gordon of Phoenix.
But to then say that Phoenix, Arizona, and the state, by going into kitchens and hotel rooms and arresting maids and dishwashers is going to keep this city and state safe. In fact, it's going to do the opposite.
Yeah, Mayor Gordon is on the right side of this issue. The city of Phoenix is getting ready to sue the state of Arizona for all of the increased costs that this is going to, you know, that the city is going to incur because of this new law.
Yeah. Yeah. Senator Saxby Chambliss, Republican of Georgia.
Until you secure the border, trying to really have an overall reform package on immigration just simply can't be done.
You can do both at the same time.
Can we make a law that people that sound like Foghorn Leghorn aren't allowed to talk about anything that involves
what I'm saying, boy, is you can't.
Stephanie, there are plenty of Democrats with Southern accents,
true.
Too. So.
Yeah, but not that sound exactly like Foghorn Leghorn. All right. A Colorado Democrat, Jared Polis, is that missing that
Police.
Right? Police, mm-hmm. who we've had on the big show. Says Arizona is on its way to becoming a police state, and its new immigration law is reminiscent of Nazi Germany. It is absolutely reminiscent of second-class status of Jews in Germany prior to World War II, when they had to have their papers with them at all times and were subject to routine inspections at the suspicion of being Jewish. I fear Arizona is headed for a police state, and it really underscores the need for immigration reform at the federal level to fix our system.
It's going to be really uncomfortable wearing jodhpurs and jackboots in the Arizona desert.
Because it's hot. Yeah,
it's
long
a dry heat.
Leather trench coats.
But it's, really, uh-huh. oof. But it's a dry heat.
Yeah.
It's a dry jodhpur.
Dry prickly heat.
Did you see somebody, a swastika was found smeared on the glass doors of the House and Senate buildings in Phoenix in refried beans?
Yeah.
On the sidewalk, beans were used to write AZ equals Nazi again with a swastika. It's two of our favorite things, Nazi analogies and fart humor in the same.
Yeah, there you go. It's kind of funny, though.
Jenna Napolitano, who, if only she were still governor.
Yeah.
She called the new law misguided. She said that's one misguided law. It's not a good law enforcement law. It's not a good law in any number of reasons. But beyond that, what it illustrates is that other states now will feel compelled to do things, and you will have this patchwork of laws where we need a federal immigration system that meets our security needs, that recognizes where we need to go in this 21st century and gives us a better framework on which to stand. Something's got to happen. You know, Raul Grauva, or as Tom Brokaw would say.
Raul Grauva.
Democrat of Arizona urged the president to fight the unjust and racist law. Representative Luis Gutierrez, meanwhile, made clear...
Luis Gutierrez.
Thank you. That after supporting his candidacy during the presidential campaign, Hispanics need him to step up on immigration reform. So, it's going to get hotter and hotter, as you can imagine. So we will continue to bring you all the latest on the Arizona law. 20 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the Zekiah law as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She's all right.
Stephanie Miller.
Clean out of sight. Don't you know?
Reese in Evansville, Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Reese.
Hi, how are you this morning, Stephanie?
Good, go ahead.
I'll put to say that you are actually hotter than Laura Ingram, too.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
That's the nicest thing since someone said I'm prettier than Don Imus. All right. Thank you, Reese.
My question is about the Arizona immigration law, is that a lot of Republicans don't realize the civil rights that are being basically violated in this. If you look at, let's say, Arizona for some reason, if they came up with this new law that the cops could just go to your house and check and make sure that your guns had all this registration paperwork, the Republicans would be just livid.
Yeah.
They would say it was unconstitutional and this is wrong and how can you infringe on someone's rights? This isn't about the illegal immigrants that are here in this country. It's about the people that are here legally. And if you are Hispanic, the different things that will happen to you as far as discrimination. And someone brought up a good point last night on MSNBC. They talked about a lot of Hispanics that are out fighting for our country. They're going to come back here and be subject to that same discrimination, and they're paying the ultimate price of basically sacrificing their lives for our country. So That's something to think about. And also, the Democrats need
I mean, somebody suggested that Sonia Sotomayor should get a beat-up pickup truck and ride around in Arizona. And, then we get some good lawsuits going.
A low rider. Oh, my God. Can you imagine her in a low rider? Holy crap.
I think she might know how to file a lawsuit or two, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I thought a Jim Dandy idea. Lord. Oh, all right, yeah. Okay, let's see. So, the Undaunted by a Senate setback, Democrats appeared increasingly confident they would be able to take advantage of Americans' anger at Wall Street and push through the most sweeping new controls on financial institutions since the Great Depression. So the Senate, in a 57-41 vote, failed to get the 60 supporters needed to proceed on regulatory overhaul. One Democrat, Senator Ben Nelson.
Slowly, I turn.
of Nebraska, joined the Republicans. Republicans, I love this. They've taken up the Democrats' Wall Street bashing rhetoric while voting against the bill. Mm-hmm. That's a neat trick. You got to hand it to them. Yeah, that's their. Mm-hmm. By the way, Yertl, Jim.
Yeah.
Mitch McChinless.
Yertl.
He said all of us want to deliver reform that will tighten the screws on Wall Street.
Yeah, we're tighten the screws. We're just going to regulate them.
But we're not going to be rushed on another massive bill based on the assurances of our friends on the other side. Oh, my God. It's health care all over again. It's too big. There's too many pages. You're going too fast.
A blank piece of paper. Just start over.
Well, he's a turtle. He doesn't like to go fast.
As long as I get my lettuce before we do any legislation.
That's exactly what it is. He is so turtle-like, Chris, that anything seems like rushing to him.
That's right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Slow and steady wins the race. Or at least it's
Senator Chris Dodd yesterday.
So today, we're just as vulnerable as we were 18 months ago. Our house is still unlocked.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Nearly two-thirds of Americans support stricter regulation of financial institutions, according to a new ABC News Washington Post poll. 65% support regulatory reform. Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
In short, Democrats stand for bringing more accountability and transparency to Wall Street. But as far as I can tell, the only thing Republicans stand for is standing together.
Well, that and lagging behind, like Yertl the Turtle, Mitch McChinless.
If we can't look our constituents in the eyes and tell them with absolute certainty that we've addressed their core concerns, then tell me, why are we voting on this bill?
We shouldn't vote on this bill.
The Democrats want us to trust them on this one. With all respect, Americans aren't in a trusting mood.
Oh, Americans.
Come on, trust us. Let me just flip you on your back.
I can't see the bill because I'm on my back. No one's going to flip me over.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Charlie Pierce on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's weird.
Stephanie Miller.
Popped into my dream again last night.
Listening?
Oh, this time we went all the way. Tell you one thing. She may be Sandy, but that chick knows what I like.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Okay, we at the Stephanie Miller Show, we get, transfixed on certain immature things, and then we can't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
Our current one is that Mitch McConnell looks like Yertl the Turtle.
He does.
And so it's even funnier when he keeps saying that everybody's rushing him, like this time on financial reform.
And Democrats have the nerve in this debate to say that we're the ones who are being dishonest. As I said, all of us want to deliver a reform bill that will tighten the screws on Wall Street. But we're not going to be rushed into another massive bill based on the assurances of our friends on the other side.
We don't want to rush. We're going to do it, but we're going to take a sweet time. Because slow and steady wins the race. So we're just going to take one little baby step at a time, and then another one, and then stop for a piece of lettuce, and then move on. And I hope nobody flips me over on my back again, because that'll take more time.
Okay. All right. You see, because everybody's rushing to a turtle. That's why it's funny. Okay, speaking of funny, it's Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Your papers are in order, maybe?
Huh?
Oh. You have relatives, maybe, in the old country?
You have relatives, perhaps, in the trunk?
Oh, yeah. It gets better by the day in Arizona, doesn't it?
Doesn't it, though? Well, you know when Tom Tancredo says, that is some crazy you people are doing on immigration, it must be crazy, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That one floors me. I don't know where he's coming from. I think he's guarding his own turf a little bit. He's peeing around his own, you know, tree to keep the rest of them away. But
yes.
It's been quite a thing. You know, my favorite thing about yesterday, though, was when the Republicans got up in the Senate and said they needed extended debate and then didn't have anybody on the floor once they got it. I thought that was
yes.
a remarkable show of good faith.
Yeah, yeah. Gee, it laid
we
bare that perhaps...
debate, but we're going to have it at, like, Arby's down the street. So come on with us.
Oh, you mean here? Oh, sorry.
Oh, this place with the desks and the no, yeah. and the statues? No, heck with it.
No, no. Yeah, I...
That statue over there of Barry Goldwater weeping? Yeah, that's...
Yeah, what is going on with Arizona? And I have to say, that was the most pathetic John McCain spectacle yet, and that's saying something.
I mean,
he goes, oh, I think it's a great law. I'm not really sure it's legal, but you know.
just when you think there's like you've reached the bottom of the barrel, you realize that the barrel is buried like 300 feet deep in the earth, and you haven't even gotten there yet.
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, I think he's personally going to go around the state before the primary and promise every voter something.
Whack
exactly. your car, mow your lawn. I mean, this is embarrassing at this point. And,
yeah,
he's being terrified by the dimmest bulb in the chandelier.
I know.
I mean, J.D. Hayworth was reckoned by one of the few acts of bipartisan consensus in the Bush during the 8 years of the Bush administration was that J.D. Hayworth was really dumb. This is a major bag of rocks we're dealing with here.
Yeah. Sarah Palin dumb. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it really is amazing, though, how they just think we have no short-term memory. Most of the Republican Party got thrown out over the corruption and the Jack Abramoff scandal, and here's J.D. Hayworth. He's like the dirtiest one of them.
We all believe in redemption, right? And here comes J.D. I mean, he's got to be a little bit giddy at this point, because I don't think he had any intent. I don't think he anticipated that he was actually going to be competitive at this point.
Mm.
Much less that Senator Grumpy Guy would be self-destructing the way he is.
Yeah, well,
is it really as simple as the fact that Obama hired the last sane politician in Arizona to make the director of Homeland Security and just sort of left everything to the crazy people?
Yeah. Well, speaking of, politics and elections, we had Greg Palast on earlier, and, you know, he's saying once again people are missing the story here. This is not, you know, on its face it's an awful law, but it's about disenfranchising Hispanic voters who are turning hugely to Democrats.
Sure. I mean, it's about trying to stem the tide of political power that seemed to be running in one direction. I think it's sort of one step removed at that. I mean, you can check, you know, I will be very surprised, for example, if on primary day or election day in Arizona there is a sudden surge in quote-unquote reasonable circumstances by which Hispanic-looking people on their way to the polls get stopped and ask for their papers.
I mean,
I will be very shocked if that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
And the other thing that I was interested in, I was out there doing a story for a magazine about a month ago, and do you know that Phoenix is on the short list for the next Republican National Convention?
Republican mm-hmm. and Democratic
and
Convention.
Democratic.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
But the Republicans, I dare you guys.
Right.
Go ahead, please put it there. I will drive the bus from Washington to put you there. So Michael Steele's last act as Republican National Chairman will be to put the Republican National Convention in the "May we see your papers, please" state.
Yep. So, you know, we were talking about financial reform. I mean, it really is, it's like an acid flashback to the health care. It literally is, the bill's too big, we're going too fast, we're all for it, you know, we want financial reform, the Republicans keep saying, even though every single one of us has voted against it now.
Yeah, that was pretty much the end. I mean, leaving aside the son of, and you, the one thing you did miss in that summation was the son of Cornhusker kickback. Which landed
right.
Ben Nelson on the wrong side of the vote, but our newly minted junior senator, Mr. $750 pink leather shorts, voted against it up here as well because he claims that it's going to cost us 30,000 jobs, and I think he got that from the works of noted economist Professor Otto Urass, because I don't see anywhere $35,000 came from, 35,000
right.
jobs came from. But this to me. I mean, we talked a lot down through the last 6 or 8 months of saying, okay, let them filibuster. This is a let them filibuster. Let them get up on TV every day and demonstrate that they want to be, you know, meanwhile the Goldman Sachs people being grilled in a committee across, you know, across the street. Let them get up every day and filibuster this one.
Yeah, the Goldman Sachs CEO, Lloyd Blankfein, will deny his firm bet against the U.S. housing market and its own clients in 2007 and 2008 and say that investments in the turbulent housing market were handled appropriately. He said, while we strongly disagree with the SEC's complaint, I also recognize how such a complicated transaction may look to many people.
Yeah, especially the people who have no money left.
Yes, I know it looks a little fishy.
We have a lot of time out here with 10% unemployment to figure these complicated things out. And one of the things we figured out is we want your head on a plate, Lloyd.
Yeah, isn't that more even more condescending than it? You're just too stupid. It's too complicated. You'd understand. It's fine.
Leave it to people like, oh, I don't know me.
Yeah. Yeah. So the you saw these emails, which sadly for him show that Goldman positioned itself to make money as the housing market melted down. In one email, he said the firm would make some serious money as the housing market collapsed. Gee, that's go ahead.
And the argument, of course, is that they're just out there cherry picking the email. Well, you know what? These are really good cherries. These are tasty freaking cherries right here.
Yeah, we're gonna make out while these poor suckers burn. Yeah, that tends to make you look a little bad.
Yeah, we're gonna cherry pick the ones that make you look like the thieves you are. Sorry about that, but that's the way it goes. You know, if I rob a bank, the prosecutor's not cherry picking the evidence when he says I have, you know, fingerprints are on the gun. That's not cherry-picking the evidence. That's the evidence.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like the police don't grab criminals every email about, like, you know, picking up milk at the store. They pick up the ones that pertain to the crime.
Exactly. I mean, no one does. Here's Lloyd Blankfein, you know, setting things up for dinner for 25 at Lutetz. Well, no, okay. That's going to be equal to the one saying, ha-ha, look at these poor suckers. It reminds me a lot of the famous Enron emails and voicemails from back in California talking about Aunt Minnie, you know, sweating in the dark or whatever it was.
Right.
Every now and then you roll the rock over and you see what these people are really like, and it's really not pretty.
Yeah, I hear tell. So, Charlie, how is this Arizona thing going to play out in terms of, I mean, obviously it seems like it's going to force us into action on the federal level. How is that going to play out, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, first of all, it's an example of Lindsey Graham being quite the drama queen here. Well, I don't want to talk about immigration. Well, guess what? Arizona booted it up to the top of the agenda.
Yep. Right.
You know, I mean, this is an unprecedented law, so it gets the attention. I think the first time a federal judge gets a hold of it, it's going to get thrown out. I mean, but if it doesn't, I think you're going to see a lot of small towns in Arizona going broke. Because they're going to have to defend the 10 million lawsuits. Either that, or they're going to have to stop a lot of white people.
Well, the city of Phoenix is already getting ready to sue the state of Arizona over, you know, money that they know they're going to lose, but, you know, defending all these lawsuits.
Because apparently the law requires local law enforcement to do this.
Right.
I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like the local sheriff's department in Yuma can slow play this thing and say, you know, stop every 15th guy and let him go. They have to do it. And if they don't do it, your local Minuteman clack can sue you.
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly. Charlie, who wins politically, though, on the federal level in the immigration reform debate? I mean, it seems like they literally, Republicans, not only have scared every last black person from the Republican Party, but pretty much every Hispanic person.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the long term, you're right. In the short term, I'm less sure about that. It depends. You know, what kind of ability the Democrats going to have to be out there this fall defending on the stump.
Right.
We've already got, you know, this has already inspired, you know, a new crackdown here in Massachusetts. And we're not doing the can we see your papers thing, but there's a crackdown now about alleged benefits that quote unquote illegal aliens are receiving here. That came out. This is the guy who's running for Congress to replace Bill Delahunt down in Cape Cod. So he's already, I mean, this is already a marvelous environment for opportunism.
Well, I mean, it's the perfect issue for Republicans. It's what they do best. It's the fear mongering and the dividing and, you know, the same thing they tried to do on the health care and everything else, right?
And the financial reform one, I mean, I love this one. This one we have to get back to because there's no better perfect political villain in the world right now than the financial services sector. Nobody likes them. I mean, yet. We are still seeking to look across the aisle for some sort of bipartisan nonsense. This is the one if you are a politician, you reach way down inside for your inner Lyndon Johnson and you really roll these guys up.
Yep, absolutely.
Because they're defending the indefensible.
Yep, absolutely.
Anyway,
well, 65% in the latest poll, you know, want financial reform, so you're right. I mean, if it couldn't be any more politically safe, just do it. Yep. But, Charlie Pierce, hey, author of Idiot America, which I believe is it out yet in paperback?
It'll be out in paperback at the end of the week with special added new idiocy. Ooh.
With more idiocy.
And you know what? It's already out of date.
Oh, no.
Because the last week has gone so far over the top for me that, I'm calling my publisher saying, can we do like a third volume? Because I just want to go to Arizona and live for a while because they really got some good stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. You can just do Arizona edition.
We haven't gotten to the birther guy out there yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's your birth certificate thing out there.
Yeah, the president has to show his birth certificate if he wants to get on the ballot in 2012.
Things John McCain can't run out there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Mr. Panama.
See you guys.
All right, if you don't buy Idiot America.
Hey, there we go. Thank you much.
Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America. See you next week, honey.
The Angelic Idiot Choir. Thank you.
Bye. There you go. All right. Thank you, Charlie. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I have never experienced the hostility that this little show, which I think is a charming show, is engendering in the community.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 51 minutes after the hour. Paul in Phoenix is a policeman. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, this law makes me sob as a cop. I will refuse to enforce it, even though my union president is for it.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I have no problem with deporting felons, but this law is out and out inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
It'll destroy families. Lots of children of illegal immigrants are born in this country. Their unnaturalized brothers and sisters will be deported. Their parents will be deported. Spouses will be separated. Remnants of families will hide with aunts and uncles, with neighbors. Children will stop going to schools. We have school resource officers out here that are hired by the schools. They work for the schools, but they're law enforcement officers, and they're going to have to question every Spanish-speaking or English as second language kid in the school. They'll be required to. And
yeah. Well, you know, Paul, did you see this press conference yesterday? John McCain's there flanked by police officers, and he's making this about, you know, how dare you suggest these fine officers would racially profile? Well, nobody's blaming the officers. You're obviously being ordered to racially profile, aren't you?
Oh, well, yeah. It's easy as pie to racially profile. The thing is they lower the bar so low. That's going to be something we're required to do. That'll be our reasonable suspicion. I'm sure that's going to be part of the training that's going to be instituted by the governor. It's like you see somebody walking down the street during the summertime wearing a coat. You have to stop that person if they have their hands in their pockets or something.
Yep.
That's a reasonable suspicion thing. Well, you're working at a school, and a kid doesn't speak a word of English, you're going to have to, the school resource officer is going to say, hey, tell me all about your family. Now let's go pick them all up.
I hear you. Paul, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. All right. Okay. Let's dive in. Yeah, one of the many, there's so many repercussions to this ridiculous law, so you don't even know where to start. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Mike Huckabee on what a Jim Dandy president Newt Gingrich would be.
There are many people who are encouraging Newt because of his background. He's one of the few people who understands the historical context of this country. He has led,
frankly,
in a remarkable moment of American history in terms of a transition. So I can give a lot of reasons why he would be a phenomenal candidate.
Frankly, I know a lot about history and the stuff I don't know. I just make up, frankly.
But, okay.
He was historically awful leader.
Which is why he was run out of town on a rail.
On a rail. Yes, historically, if you're a student of history.
And why is Mike Huckabee, who is presumably running for president, promoting Newt Gingrich as a run for president. I don't get that. Wasn't curious. Smart on Huckabee's
maybe he
part.
Really wants to run against him.
Maybe Newt bought him a snack in the Fox lunchroom.
Or his family a snack.
Okay.
That's a large family.
So the president has been talking about reconnecting, you know, with a lot of people that voted for the very first time in 2008. He talked about with unusual demographic frankness about his coalition. You know, young people, African American, Latinos, women who powered our victory in 2008 to stand together once again. Leave that to Rush Limbaugh to spin it this way.
So Obama seeks to reconnect with young people, with African Americans, with Latinos, and with women. Why does Obama not seek to reconnect with white people? Why does Obama say he doesn't want to reach out to older white males?
Because he doesn't like white people, clearly, is your point, right?
Because reaching out to older white males like Rush Limbaugh would be pointless.
That's right.
Get his hand slapped.
Oh, boy. All right, Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and Freaks.
What's troubling to some Americans is that when have you ever heard that something's too big, a company's too big?
Some people say.
Isn't that the whole idea of America, like trying to grow your company to become as big as possible? I don't know. That struck me as very interesting that now we're going to have a whole new era of determining whether or not companies are too big.
Yes.
She's a moron. You're good God.
You know, it strikes me as interesting that an idiot like you gets to be a commentator on a so-called news show. I mean, what's the problem? It's just, what?
A company is too big to fail when if it fails, it takes down the entire American economy with it.
Even Republicans, dope. Check your talking points are saying we can't have businesses that are too big to fail now.
You want a business to be successful so that they get bigger. So that's what's good, right?
We supersize everything in America. I don't get it. Nobody explained this to me. All right, somebody spent a little too much time getting their hair blown out and not quite enough time reading.
Stuff.
Yeah, the show prep stuff that you're supposed to read. Before.
Some brain cells left with some follicles, I think.
Hair dye or whatever.
All right. Glenn Beck on the radio on what a progressive George Bush was.
What?
Huh?
What has he done that is different? I think he's done exactly what George Bush was doing, except to the times of 1,000. I mean, we're talking about a progressive. And George Bush was a progressive.
What?
It's a difference between a steam train and a space shuttle.
What?
Yeah, I think I speak for many of us progressives when I say,
man, that one made me puke.
He was progressive.
Was a well-known liberal George Bush, who was so beloved, as you know, by progressives everywhere, Jim.
In that his regime became worse and worse over time. They became progressively worse through his two terms. Hence, a progressive. Progressive equals bad. It's so obvious, people.
Okay, Alex Castellanos on the reason we need to vote for Republicans now, Jim, because there's no brake. There's no brake pedal.
Republicans aren't going to run the country. Barack Obama's running the country. The only question is there going to be a brake pedal on the car? I think that strategy from the Democrats, go back to Republicans running everything, it just doesn't make sense. It's not true. This car has no brake pedal. Obama's got the White House. He's got the Congress. He's got the Senate. Do we need a brake pedal on the car?
Yes, that's what you want to do. You want a stuck brake pedal. Like on what car was that? You want a stuck Republican's brake pedal that's stuck in the same position that got
Toyotas.
Us here. Yes.
Well, no, the Toyotas had stuck accelerators.
Oh, okay.
Not stuck brake
that's
pedals.
Different.
Yes, it's just the opposite.
Sorry, I screwed up the car analogy.
Oh, well.
58 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World and Joe Rome on his new book on climate change as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ha ha, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Mama on The Ed Show on MSNBC on Thursday night this week. Oh, gosh, let's finish up some right-wing world. Oh, I'm sorry, it's repeating on me into the next hour here. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
The president needs to recoup from the health care debacle he fixed on this. The problem is that for the Republicans, unless they produce a bill quickly, which they should, they've got to have an alternative, they're going to get hit in November because it's very hard to explain in a soundbite or in a 30-second ad what's wrong with the bill.
Yeah, while you're being an obstructionist asshat again. Yeah.
Healthcare debacle?
Debacle? What?
He won.
Yes, I guess he, Charles Krauthammer, not good on detail. He's not a detail guy. He's a big picture guy. Okay, Laura Ingraham in for O'Reilly on the healthcare.
Voters are enraged by President Obama's big spending and the healthcare ran through. And many are now outraged to learn of the administration's next big push. Amnesty for millions of illegal aliens living in the United States.
Oh, just like Ronald Reagan. Oops!
God, she's soothing.
She is, isn't she? She's like a Sominex. Okay, that concludes Right Wing World. You know, we get some fancy guests, but in 2009, Rolling Stone named our next guest on the list of 100 people who are changing America.
Ooh.
He is a climate expert, physicist, energy consultant, just like you, Jim, former official in the Department of Energy. and he has a new book, Straight Up, America's Fiercest Climate Blogger, takes on the status quo media politicians' clean energy solutions. Joe Rome is on the phone with us. Good morning, good morning, Joe.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for coming on. Now, so here's the thing. Climate change, you say, far more urgent than most people understand, and traditional media scientists, politicians missing the story. What is the story that we're missing, Joe?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I used to spend all my time doing clean energy, and then my brother lost his home in Hurricane Katrina. He lived in Louisiana, and got hit by a 20-foot storm surge, and I went out and started talking to climate scientists, and, you know, what they told me is that, you know, we still have time to address this issue, but if we keep doing nothing and pouring 30 billion tons of heat-trapping gases into the atmosphere every year, we're just going to, you know, pretty dramatically change this country and the world, and our children and grandchildren are really going to suffer the consequences.
Well, you know, I know that Time Magazine has said you have one of the top 15 green websites. It's climateprogress.org, right?
Climateprogress.org, yeah. And I, you know, don't want to get into a lot of the science here. I try to go through in simple language there. I think it's probably one of the most widely read climate blogs. Let me just sort of, you know, give you one thing that people don't talk a lot about. All that carbon dioxide that we're putting out into the air, about a quarter of it goes into the ocean, where it acidifies the ocean. And the ocean is getting more and more acidified, and the acid is quite inhospitable to corals and plankton, which are really the basis for the entire marine life food chain. There's a documentary out there called Imagine a World Without Fish. I mean, the changes that we are making to the planet, people talk a lot about warming, and I think, you know, warming and climate change is very important, but just what we're doing to the oceans alone are reason enough to start cutting pollution.
Yeah, well, Joe, you know, obviously, you know, we just finished up our feature called Right Wing World, and, you know, you've heard it like clockwork every year, you know, oh, there's snowstorms in the east during the winter, ha-ha, there's no global warming. You know, then the latest thing, or, you know, this, what do they call it, the, I don't know what they call it, the, you know, climate gate, these emails that the scientists, and they use that as a proof that global warming is a hoax. What did you, I mean, to me, it proved nothing of the sort, did it?
No, and in fact, you know, it proves that scientists are human beings, and if you published all of anybody's emails, you know, you'd learn a lot about them that might not be nice.
But right.
The scientific process has managed to, you know, put 12 men on the moon and cure, you know, polio and smallpox and give us the internet, all in spite of the fact that scientists are just human beings like you and me.
Listen, if anyone published the emails that my producer Chris and I send back and forth to each other when we get into a snit, you know, the politically incorrect stream of invective, you know, it doesn't prove we're not liberals. It just proves that sometimes we're, you know, to each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that's the point. The scientific process, you know, it really works very, it's self-correcting, unlike, say, the right-wing process, which just, you know, they're not open to the facts. So there's always going to be something. You know, the snowstorms, I'm here in Washington, D.C. You know, Fox News had me on twice because of the snowstorms. When the heat wave came, they didn't have me on. the irony is that you would expect, and it is predicted under climate science, that the hotter the planet gets, the more water vapor there is above the oceans, which means whenever there's precipitation, that water vapor is going to come down as in some form. And in the wintertime, you know, global warming hasn't warmed enough to turn January into July. So we're still going to get snow. The point is, yeah, you can get more intense snowstorms because the planet has more water vapor in the air.
Yes, exactly. People don't understand it's climate change, which doesn't, you know, refer to one specific thing. One thing that popped out on me about your book is you explain why Sarah Palin wears a polar bear pin.
Yeah.
Do you get one in Alaska if you drown the most polar bears, or what? How did she get that?
Well, you know, it's funny because she actually sued the Bush administration for going too far in trying to protect the polar bear. Now you know this is like Dirk Kempthorne. You know, you know that you are an extremist if you're suing the Bush administration for going too far to protect animals.
Yeah.
I mean, Palin, you know, has emerged as a leading spokesperson on energy and climate because, you know, from Alaska, you can see a lot of oil.
And, yes.
It's just, you know, she just, and the thing is, the media enables this. It's the Washington Post published an op-ed from her on climate science and these emails.
Right.
It's just, you know, so that's the world. That's, you know, I started the blog. You know, I work at the Center for American Progress Action Fund with you know, John Podesta and Van Jones, and the mainstream media just loves this he said, she said nonsense. So, you know, 999 scientists can say one thing, and Sarah Palin can say another thing, and that's like balance.
Yeah, it's like the CNN technique. Well, we have both sides on, and we'll have to leave it there.
Exactly.
Yeah, as soon as a liberal has something to say, oh, we'll have to leave it there.
Yeah, we'll have to leave it there.
Where? Oh, we didn't even start.
Yeah.
Or
Joe.
They say, well, I guess that debate, you know, we'll be coming back to that debate later or something like that.
A lot of good points on both sides.
The beauty of the blog is, you know, Climate Progress, is that I don't have to waste time publishing statements by people who are making crap up.
Yeah, exactly. Joe, you know, you've heard, like, Lindsey Graham has got his panties in a wad over that we may do immigration reform first, so now he's not going to vote for any energy bill. What's going to happen? I mean, are we going to get any action on this, do you think?
Oh, boy, yeah, this is... I don't know. It's certainly the hope was that there would be a bipartisan bill, and you know, Graham's friend John McCain, who used to, you know, be an activist on climate until, like, he lost the election and went, you know,
he's so unlike him to change his mind on something, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And now that he's got a conservative, you know, he's running against in the primary, he's like, you know, I never supported trying to restrict greenhouse gas emissions. Graham has been working pretty closely with Joe Lieberman, whom I'm sure is a great friend of your show's, and John Kerry, to try to create a bipartisan bill, and they kind of all melted down over the weekend. There are a lot of people trying to put it back together. I think that the president, personally, I think the president needs to assert some leadership here because this has been one of his top priorities. Don't get me wrong. I think it's important to do immigration, too. But, you know, it's going to be very hard to do anything after the election.
And you write, you know, the ultimate solution, citizen action. Without public pressure, Washington and the industry don't budge. With it, our grandkids might just have a habitable place to live. So what should we do?
Yeah, well, I think individuals need to get informed. So they can go to, you know, read my book straight up or go to Climate Progress, my blog. But, yes, I think people, you know, if people do not become informed and active on this issue, then, you know, the disinformation campaign run by the right wing and the big lie. lobbying money that they have is going to keep the status quo. And, you know, not only is we going to be stuck with the global warming, but, you know, we send $1 billion a day overseas to buy foreign oil. And that's just going to keep going up and up as the price of oil goes up. In fact, just today, we published this on the blog, British Petroleum just announced, you know, British Petroleum, which is leaking 42,000 gallons a day in the Gulf of Mexico, which is going to hit Louisiana on Saturday, they just announced, what, $26 billion, $5.6 billion in quarterly profits.
Nice. Unbelievable.
So, you know, the oil companies keep getting rich and they use it to spread disinformation and buy members of Congress. So if citizens, yeah, don't stand up, and I would contact your senator and I would contact the White House and say,
okay,
we want change.
And I would buy the book straight up, America's Fiercest Climate Blogger Takes on the Status Quo, Media Politicians, and Clean Energy Solutions, by Joe Rome. Thank you, Joe. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. There he goes.
What's the,
Joe, thank God.
Saying,
I saw this press release at the last minute, Chris. I thought it was Jim Rome. I was going to do the whole thing about sports.
So what do you think about the World Cup?
The what?
Huh?
Yeah.
Saved by the bell. Yes, Jim, go ahead.
Wasn't it just a couple weeks ago someone was telling us how safe these new oil platforms are, how nothing could possibly go wrong? That one blew up and sank and is now leaking oil.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit of breaking news coming out of Russia.
Yes.
Vladimir Putin has just announced that he and Dmitry Medvedev are not gay. Seriously. They put out a press release.
Look how not gay I am. Look at me shirtless on
Who
my horse.
Who said they were? Oh, just because of all the really gay pictures of Putin with his shirt off?
I guess.
Doing manly things out in the countryside. Look at me. I'm a big macho fellow.
No, they were asked by a reporter about
That's
the successful
hilarious.
Political marriage that he shares with Medvedev. And so they had to put out a press release saying that they're not gay.
Political marriage. Don't overreact.
Who's overreacting, you bitch? Don't you tell me I'm not straight. Just because I kissed little boy on stomach is no big deal. We do that in Russia.
20 minutes after the hour, right back with Celebrity Stack and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I went downtown last night. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
So
I went to
that's
the Helen...
what the kids are calling it.
I went to the Helen... I went to the Helen Thomas Craig Crawford book signing party thing that they invited me to. What do you call it? Listen up, Mr. President. Fabulous book.
Were there a lot of liberal media elite there?
Apparently, I almost left after, 5 minutes because I'm such a loser. Because, you know, you feel like a complete dork.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I don't know anybody here. You're, back in eighth grade. However, I got a letter from Lloyd, who was there. Hi, Steph. So you left early because you felt like a wallfire last night at the Helen Thomas thing. Too bad you didn't stick around when the shindig ended. I loved your hearty laugh, Lloyd, the guy with the eyes that you liked.
What?
I was whoring around with Lloyd.
Was it a shindig or a wingding?
Is this a potential suitor for you, Stephanie?
I don't know. I was adopted by it was several Lebanese men. They were there to support Helen Thomas, who was Lebanese. I was adopted
after a while
of being a dorky wallflower.
So you were raised by wolves and adopted by Lebanese.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Exactly. So there's a happy ending.
Maybe that explains the eyebrows.
Steve, a fine American, writes to you, Chris. Chris, earlier on the show, you wondered aloud about Helen Thomas saying she can't recall the anger in American society ever being so bad, which she did say last night.
Mm-hmm.
Whether this would include the divisions and protests of the 60s and 70s, I lived through that era and have been saying the following for well over a decade. When I was growing up, I recalled the debates between hawks and doves, conservatives and liberals, on and on. However, no matter how far apart any these sides seemed to be, I always felt in the core of my being we were all arguing about the same thing, the same country, the same basic set of facts and principles. We were just coming at these from different angles. From the Reagan administration onward, the Atwater, Rove, Gingrich style of politics changed that dynamic, and each year that goes by, it seems to get worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty politics and outrage have always been with us, yet in the modern age, politicians and news organizations once knew better. There were boundaries and some reasonable sense of propriety. That's gone, and there's a whole generation that now has grown up in this environment. They have never known any other type of politics nor any other type of news coverage. We're no longer arguing about the same things. That's the danger. That's what's so sad and scary. I don't think anyone knows how to reestablish the relative equilibrium that once existed. Steve.
Okay, very good point.
Who apparently, he said he's writing from Brazil, so he solved the problem by moving to Brazil,
yes.
Which is one way. All right.
I hear they have chicks in bikinis in Brazil.
And chicks without bikinis.
Well,
he went there for carnival.
Squeezy. Martin from. In Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Martin.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to say that I don't believe this poll that says that 70% of Arizonans are for SB 1070. That is, there's no way that that is true.
Yeah, that seems excessively high to me, too, Martin.
And how come they've only taken one poll? Take another poll, people.
Yeah.
What? Who took this poll?
Rasmussen.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah,
you know,
I don't
know. The Arizona Republic or the Tucson Citizen need to commission a poll. Yeah, Rasmussen is an out-of-state organization. They're
sort of notoriously lean right, don't they, Jim?
Yeah, they do.
All right. Michael in L.A. Hey, Mike.
On Crazy AZ. I noticed that back during the Bush administration, the neocons were more than happy to allow illegal immigrants as long as they – this is my first point – as long as they went ahead and killed somebody in their war. You know,
yeah,
that was the first thing. But Chris, maybe you can help me with this because I don't really understand the law that much. Mm-hmm. That much. If Arizona is going to be enforcing this, mm-hmm. won't the feds be deporting? I mean, my point is, if the feds are doing the deporting, and then the feds decide, well, this law is unconstitutional, we can't do this, won't that make Arizona the safest place for any illegal immigrant?
It's a little more complicated than that. I can talk about it after the
Chris
break.
Chris will explain after the break. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I respect this bitch. I love this bitch.
Oh, I'm a sucker for
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you will respect this biatch. Respect my authority. 34 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. Now Chris will explain why, if the local police have to arrest people that look like immigrants, and then the feds will be the ones deporting them. Okay, what did he ask? Go ahead.
Basically what happens is this new Arizona law is giving local police departments the power that the Fed already has. The feds, you know, should be enforcing immigration laws, but they're not. And so this new law is giving that power to local police departments in the state of Arizona.
Right, but he had a different question, didn't he? That if it's the... He said, won't that make it the safest place for illegal immigrants? I don't know what his point was.
No, it will not make it... It will make it doubly harsh for illegal immigrants because there are going to be two entities going after them instead of just one.
One would think. Mm-hmm. Okay. Toby in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Arizona Law as well. Hi, Toby.
Good morning. I just want to make people aware that Arizona has a vote by mail capability, and if everybody would vote by mail, they could be harassed at the polls.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's a that's a point.
No
Greg
guarantee
Palace
that your vote actually gets through.
Yeah. Greg Palace was on earlier, Jim, saying that the real reason for this is the typical Republican technique. It's voter. It's a way of disenfranchising Hispanic voters. Mm-hmm. Same play they've been running. Okay, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie plan a low-key wedding. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I'm sure it'll be incredibly low-key. Aren't they the most famous couple in the world? Is it me?
Pretty much.
Oh, did you see, Jim, what Stephen Hawking said? He says aliens are out there, but it could be too dangerous for humans to interact with extraterrestrial life. He speculates that advanced life forms may be nomads looking to conquer and colonize.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably anal probe, as they've...
And force Tom Cruise to jump on a couch right after he drops him in a volcano. But, no, I'm quite sure they're already here. you know, various kinds.
We know the one thing that that aliens want.
What's that?
Cars, thieves, women.
It's true. Can't we start with, I don't know, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann? Who else could we give them?
Laura Coulter.
Laura Ingraham.
Yeah. Mars needs right wing women.
Take our best and our brightest as a peace offering.
No, seriously, these are the people that saved us from ourselves.
Speaking of invasions, Jennifer Lopez compared pregnancy to an invasion of the body snatchers. She found the way her babies took over her body during their birthing weird.
But that's what happens.
It is sort of like alien. That's why I've never done it, for God's sake.
Did Donald Sutherland turn around and go,
pushing an object the size of a watermelon out an opening the size of a pea? What the hell thought of that?
And ruining your figure in the meantime.
I think a comedian friend of mine once, I forget who, they said to try to explain to men what childbirth feels like, it would be like peeing out a kitten.
Ooh.
If a man were to pee out a kitten, that's the closest you could. Claws.
See,
and everything.
Babies don't have claws.
Some have fingernails.
I don't know. Can you hit the squeezy music, please? All Jim, right. Lindsay Lohan is still fighting with her girlfriend.
I thought she was...
Her ex.
Back on
She's
the...
reportedly been banned from a club for throwing a glass at Samantha Ronson. She was asked to leave the Truesdale Club in Los Angeles after the incident with her ex-girlfriend. Samantha was DJing, went to sit down with friends when Lindsay stormed over and threw a glass at her head. Jim, wasn't it supposed to be your job to separate them and, at some point?
I tried to separate her legs, but no.
No.
Squeezing. Yes, Chris?
My friend Travis just wrote and said Mars doesn't want Ann Coulter. She would be useless for breeding purposes.
Although her build is right for the gravity on Mars. She's actually built like a Martian. So.
Oh, dear. So doctors plan further testing to help pinpoint the source of a brain hemorrhage that is keeping Brett Michaels in intensive care.
This is so sad.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this. It's hard to tell. It sounds really serious.
Related to the piece of the set that fell on his head?
He just had an emergency.
On Tony's, right?
He just had an emergency appendectomy about a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. And so it could be related to that. Like they knocked something
Nobody's
loose.
Made any jokes about it being poison, right? Because that would be...
No, I've actually read jokes like that online. They don't waste time. But, no, this is really sad, really scary.
I know. Well, it doesn't sound like they know which way it's going to go, but it's, that's very scary.
Apparently he has, you know, blurred vision, you know, slurred speech right now. It's kind of looking like a stroke.
Yeah. Hey. All right. Well, our thoughts and prayers are with him. Mm-hmm. Delisted writing one of Jesse James's side pieces is sorry. Did you see this? Melissa Smith? Has apologized to Sandra Bullock. She faxed the letter to Sandra's agent. People are still using faxes? She faxed a letter to... Yeah, D-listed mostly mad that she's bringing back archaic 80s technology.
I still have a fax machine.
And D-listed writes, due to a technical glitch, I'm sure she also accidentally faxed a letter to everyone from TMZ to the Penny Saver.
That's hard to
Sandra,
do on a fax machine.
Dear Sandra, blah, blah, blah. I know this message will most likely go unanswered.
Computer says, yeah.
I'm guessing, probably. But I want you to know how sorry I am, blah, blah, blah. Please contact me if you wish to discuss on the phone or in person. Oh, yeah, I'm sure Sandra Bullock is going to get right on that.
I am one of your fans!
Mm-hmm. Okay, delisted, oh, dear. That's another Whitney Houston story. Delisted for the over. Looking like the Alabama leprechaun in a Rick James wig. Whitney Houston... continued to bring people to their feet at London's O2 Arena last night. However, bitches didn't stand to honor Whitney's glorious voice. They stood up there so they could bust out of there before their ears turned inside out like Pete Doherty when you pour soap on him. She apparently addressed her voice issues during last night's show. Apparently, USA Today says, right after she viciously murdered I Will Always Love You, she stopped and told the audience, she don't want to come, my soprano friend. Sometimes the old girl sings, but not tonight. I want to do it, but she doesn't want to. She's gotten a little temperamental even. Oh, Whitney blamed it on the air conditioning in the arena, but she should have blamed it on a different kind of air. Crack air. Whitney's soprano friend isn't coming back. Bitch quit Whitney a long time ago, according to D-Listed. Oh, dear. Yeah, apparently the voice not quite what it was.
No. So I've heard.
Aha. All right. Evidence mounting that Kim Jong-il is losing the propaganda war inside North Korea with more than half. With more than half the population now listening to foreign news, grassroots cynicism undercutting state myths, and discontent rising even among elites.
Oh, that bad. That really, really bad. Everyday form of resistance taking root as a large swath of the population believes that the parades of corruption, rising inequity, and chronic food shortages are the result of the fault of the government in Pyongyang and not United States. Oh, damn it! You could say I was a lost man in a lost world. You say I lost my faith in the people on TV. You could say I lost my belief in politicians. They'll seem like game show hosts to me. If I ever lose my faith in who, there'd be nothing left for me to do but attack the People's Republic of China with its million-man army and 80 to 100 nuclear bomb. I fear it would not end too well for me. Sting out!
Who knew they got Sting songs? Yeah. Who knew they got Sting songs in North Korea?
Matt in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller version. Show. Hello, Matt.
Achtung. Your test, yes. Please. How are you doing?
Good.
Good, okay. Yeah, I just want to echo what Greg Palast said. It's certainly interesting about voter disenfranchisement. It's another GOP voting scam, I think. But it's also driving, I think, a final nail into the coffin of the Arizona economy. It's driving business out of Arizona.
Well, yeah. I mean, among all the awful after effects, exactly. Mm-hmm. Lane in Syracuse says the Arizona law is not unconstitutional. Hi, Lane.
Hey. If you read the preamble of the Constitution, it starts with we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare. The welfare has nothing to do with baby makers wanting a free ride. It has to do with
is that why you think people are coming here illegally? To get a free ride? Are you kidding me, Lane?
No, I am very serious. We fought for our freedom. Why can't they go over to their machismo governments and do the exact same thing we did?
Because their government is so corrupt, they can't do anything.
They need to change from within. When they run here, they abandon their children, they abandon their wives, and they run here looking for something, some sort of a free handout. And
the kind of work they're doing, that's a free handout?
Yes, absolutely, because it's not changing the welfare of their own country. This, whether it be Cuba, whether it be Mexico, whether it be...
How did most people get to America? Didn't most people come here for a better life? Didn't your ancestors come here for a better life?
Yeah, and they did so legally.
Okay.
And they also adapted themselves by learning the language. I'm sorry that they didn't have 5,000 children. And they weren't
I see. They're having too many children for your taste.
Okay.
Not one of them went on welfare.
Okay, Lane.
Oh, I see. So you mean Irish people don't have big families either,
No,
huh?
No, because they're not Catholic in the least.
But not one of them went on welfare. Nobody from my Irish side of my family, my father's side, 2 kids. My mother's side, 11. They lived on a farm. They were dirt poor.
So
they
you're the baby police now? Like, you're in charge of how many children people can have?
If they're asking for everything to be handed to them.
They're not.
Who's asking for everything? Do you know how hard these people work? Harder than you and I, my friend.
No, I don't think so. I still work for a hard job where I'm actually serving people continuously.
And they're not.
So you think all the Mexican immigrants are sitting around waiting for a welfare check? Is that what you think?
Okay. All right. See, now
apparently.
You're changing the subject. Not
no.
Okay, all right. All
no,
right.
It's the exact same subject.
Okay,
you're...
All right. Okay, then. There you go.
What she just said that they're very hardworking people, and you said no, they're not. Well, is that your vision of them? They're all just sitting around waiting for a handout?
Does he know how hard it is to clean a house or to do dishes, you know, in a restaurant?
Mm. All right. Too bad you had a bad phone. We're at the break. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow! You just blew my mind!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. We keep on waiting, Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, que tal? Adios mio, mi amigo.
Mamacita, y los mukis, muy buenos quesadillas.
Yes.
Hey, earlier you had your guest on, Joe Rome, and he was discussing the environment and global warming and all this stuff. And I was kind of hoping that he was going to bring up one of the latest hot-button issues as far as the ecological system is concerned. There's some very rich and powerful men, as well as scientists, that are proposing some radical changes to the Earth's atmosphere. This is something that they're calling geoengineering. What they're proposing to do is spraying either chemicals or sulfates or little bits of particles, nanoparticles of aluminum, into the atmosphere in an attempt to alter the Earth's atmosphere.
Well, they've been doing it for years.
Well, yes, chemtrails.
I've seen them.
Yes, everybody's been seeing when one. What's been going on. Those are military jets.
One of my friends talks about this, about the chemtrails. Okay.
I
thought nanoparticles. I dropped my nano once, and it went into a million pieces. Yeah, exactly, Jim. That's what I thought it was. Who knew?
No, but oh. I mean, people have been telling me about this for years, and I didn't believe them. And then a couple summers ago, I looked up and saw these, you know, long, thick trails, which did not look like normal vapor trails, and there was a plane flying above them with an actual vapor trail. And it recedes after, you know, a few football lengths, depending on how cold it is. No, that's particulate matter they're spraying up there. To what end, we don't know.
Speaking of dumping toxic things, hey, this is a good segue. Toxic mortgages, everybody! It's the CEO of Goldman Sachs is testifying today, Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan, talking about that.
The evidence shows that Goldman repeatedly put its own interests and profits ahead of the interest of its clients. For large fees, Goldman helped run the conveyor belt that dumped hundreds of billions of dollars of toxic mortgages into the financial system.
Yeah, chemtrails of toxic mortgages, Jim. God, it's like a beautiful Chariots of Fire relay in here some mornings, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Jim just handed me the baton.
Toxic mortgages in the sky.
Yes.
With diamonds.
So, Schmuck Astley, I mean, Chuck Grassley, have you seen this?
Have you been Rick Astley? What was that?
Last month, as you know, he was kind of a vocal opponent of the health care law. He issued a press release taking credit for some of the provisions.
What?
In the law that he voted
against
and then went out and lied about with the death panels and the Flavin. Grassley's office has issued another release highlighting how the new law would help Medicare beneficiaries in rural Iowa. By the way, last month, Grassley said on MSNBC that he supports the state lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of health care.
Oh! So he's challenging the constitutionality of something that he now supports. And
the whole thing.
His idea.
But apparently anything good in there was because of him.
Wow. How do people let these guys get away with that?
I don't know. Let's hope they don't in 2010. The president talking about the 2010 elections.
It'll be up to each of you to make sure that the young people, African Americans, Latinos, and women who powered our victory in 2008 stand together once again.
So why is he not talking to white people?
Yeah,
clearly.
Where were the white males in
that? He has a deep-seated hatred for white people. It's so obvious. I'm going to cry.
He needs to get any of the Black Eyed Peas to do a song is what we mentioned. That would help.
Well, except for Fergie. She's kind of a skank.
The white pea, that might throw Rush Limbaugh off.
If you help us make sure that first-time voters in 2008 make their voices heard again in November, then together we will deliver on the promise of change.
Meanwhile, back on the Teabagger Ranch, did you see there was the hell was that, some sort of Glenn Beck event? At the Oil Palace in Tyler, Texas. Texas State Representative Leo Berman Rick Perry was there. Several other, it was a lot of right-wing flame-throwing, including Perry saying that he was proud to be in an army of anti-Obama Americans. Just, I'm sure, weirdly coincidental violent rhetoric. Berman told the crowd, "I believe Barack Obama is God's punishment on us."
Oh, great.
Wow.
I think God has better things to do.
I think the Civil War was God's punishment on you, and you didn't get the message.
Beck later stated that the U.S. Constitution was divinely inspired and our rights come from God. He said, if God is with us, who can possibly stand against us? The answer is no one. On his radio show last week, he claimed that he was carrying out God's plan.
Oh. Oh,
my God.
Was it God's plan to protect the institution of slavery during the Civil War?
Yeah, I'm sure God is like, why did I give Moses the tablets? Why didn't I think of the chalkboard?
You can erase stuff and start over. Oh,
damn it.
Dumb.
Yep, Sarah Palin did a little speech there where she did some jokes about the lamestream media again. And said she was proud to be part of Fox News for being fair and balanced and praised Glenn Beck and said his chalkboard with his chalkboard technique, he's changing our country.
For the worse.
Yeah. Ed Rendell, Pennsylvania governor, went on Fox News. He said they've been more effective than the Tea Party movement at building anger among the conservative grassroots. He asserted the Tea Party movement has been successful because the mainstream media have given them too much credit. Yeah. They're really sort of following the anger rather than creating the movement. This is fuck you by Fox News. Oh, Chris, you're not going to believe this.
What?
No one has been punished on the Hannity staff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even though they committed an egregious wrongdoing?
Yes. They pulled the plug on his tax day Tea Party because organizers were charging for tickets to benefit, you know, the Tea Party.
Right.
Sounded like serious repercussions were on the horizon for the show's staff. No action apparently has been taken. Remember a few months ago, FNC said they had a zero tolerance policy because, you remember, Sean Hannity used the wrong crowd footage.
Yeah.
That made it seem like a conservative rally was much bigger than it actually was. And then the Fox producer was caught on air, like, ginning up the crowd at a 9/12 rally.
Yep.
That sounds like nobody's...
Sounds like something a news channel shouldn't be doing.
I don't know. Guess nothing.
Says no
sort of repercussions of any kind. Okay. Andrew in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello. Andrew.
Hello. I'm furious at that last call you had on air. I'm sorry, just a pure bigot. I'm a Mexican-American. My father is a U.S. citizen who's Mexican. My mother is white, so I have a different perspective than a lot of people do. And my father raised 7 kids, was in the Air Force for 25 years, worked 2 jobs. Every one of his kids went to college and paid for their own college, their PhDs, masters, and their...
Well, apparently, you had too many kids, according to the last caller. That was apparently, you're only allowed to have 2, according to his...
I mean, this is just racism. I mean, they hate... I'm not going to whisper it like you do. They hate a black man in the White House.
Yep.
You know,
this is
pure hatred to a color. And like you said, I've worked my butt off since I was 14. I lied about my age to work in a restaurant. I mean, we always had to make our own money as kids.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Tell me about it. That guy, we didn't get to what his job is. He works so much harder than the Mexican folk. All right. That's it for us. Hump Days with Hal Sparks live in the New York studio with me tomorrow. And Carl Frisch hosts Right Wing World. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.